with Barbara Lamb, and we will have your calls this hour, so by all means, weigh in. I did get an email saying, wait a minute, let's go back to our suspended woman, who kind of was a theme throughout the show tonight. And how exactly is it that she was missing for 3 days? Her sleeping husband didn't notice this, so we'll find out about perhaps bending time and a lot more coming up with Barbara Lamb. AlienExperiences.com is the book. I can't wait to read it. I've seen some of the excerpts, and it looks like, if nothing else, all of us should be forewarned, though I think, on the other hand, if we haven't been picked, maybe we're just not of the right bloodline type. In other words, I don't think they start picking when you're middle age. But we'll find out about that too and more coming up right here on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM, Raleigh James, Barbara Lamb with us. And before we get to calls, Barbara, it was a good point that that I got by a couple emailers. Our woman who was suspended there for 3 days, didn't her husband notice she was gone?
No, she had that experience before she was married.
Okay.
So she was living alone in an apartment when that experience happened. So the only people noticed that she was gone for 3 days were the people she worked with.
Right, I remembered that. But is this not the same person who was taken from her bed while her husband was hearing the noises?
It is the same one, but that was years later.
All righty. All right. Well, good.
When she was married, yeah.
Glad we got that settled. Now, one other question while I'm hogging you is, as you mentioned, many of them seem to go, the abductions seem to go throughout someone's lifetime. I assume that it's more likely to be taken when you're young than, say, here you are at 63 and it's your first trip?
Yes, usually these experiences start very, very young, early in childhood, or even in a couple of cases I've worked with, they started when the baby was still in the womb.
Wow.
Yeah. And those were helpful experiences, actually. One was a really very important healing experience by the ET through the wall of the mother's abdomen and into the womb. And I think that baby would have died if the ET hadn't come and done that healing. So that's very impressive. So, yes, usually they do start very early in life and have childhood experiences, and then sometimes there's a gap of time, maybe from around, 8, 6, or 7, they're really getting into school and learning the basics at school, and then they're picked up again in adolescence, sometimes for sexual purposes, sometimes for other purposes, and on. Now, it's interesting that the people I know who had lots of experiences who are now in their 50s or 60s, I ask them when I see them, you know, do you think you're still having experiences? And some of them still are, even though they're through with menopause.
Now, when you say sexual experiences, I mean, before I got it about we're harvesting the eggs and we're mixing them in the, are you talking like contact sexual experiences?
Yes, in some cases, particularly with the reptilian beings, the reptilian males will actually come and mate with the humans they're working with.
You sure those aren't just politicians? Now, in terms of that, and not to be graphic here, but I can't imagine the reptiles are particularly adept at foreplay. I assume this is all on their terms.
You know, it's a very interesting thing. Anyone I have ever talked to who, and that's been quite a number of people, 20, 30 people maybe, who've experienced this sexual experience directly with a reptilian male, they claim that this is incredibly pleasurable.
Oh, God.
Now, the reason, yeah, it seems very odd, but the reason seems to be that, and here I hope it's okay for me to be this graphic, but on the reptilian male's member that counts here for impregnating, there's an extra appendage, and that extra appendage actually pleasures the woman
greatly. Then.
So not a bad thing.
That's more than we probably wanted to know. But about reptiles, of course, I have to, and I'm sorry to Terrell and Brandon and Ed and Paul, we're going to get there, I promise. But, you know, we always talk about shape-shifting lizards and accuse various, actually back to the politicians, various politicians of being them. Are these reptiles shapeshifters, or are they proud, solid reptiles?
Some of them do seem to be shapeshifters. In fact, a man client of mine was abducted several years back, and he was having a sexual experience on a craft, and he thought...
With another male reptile?
No, this was a female.
With a female reptile.
Who, at first, looked like a gorgeous human female, but during the middle of this act, that image of the gorgeous female faded away, and it was a reptile, a female reptilian.
See, here that doesn't happen till the next morning, usually. Well, there's so many places to go, because, of course, that portends that seriously anybody could be a reptile. I mean, if they have the ability to do that, we could have elected them to office.
Well, in this case, though, the image of the human doesn't stay terribly long, maybe for several minutes, and then it seems to fade.
Right.
And then I've also heard of females... human females who are having an experience like that with a male who looks like a very attractive, handsome human male, and then that image fades, and they realize that they're experiencing this with a reptilian male.
Yeah, yeah. I think once people sober up, they're kind of used to that on this planet. So we've got Terrell in Los Angeles. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. Just a quick question for you. With any of your experiencers, have they recalled any detail regarding natural cosmic events, catastrophic events that are to come in the future, perhaps anything that may correspond with 2012?
Oh, like predictions, okay.
Yes, many of these people, when they're taken on a craft, are shown a scene. It's kind of like on a big screen or like a hologram of Earth catastrophes of various types. That seems to be a very frequent thing that happens with experiencers.
Are any of them common? In other words, does one keep coming up repeatedly, person to person?
You mean within one person?
Well, no. I mean, if you've regressed 1,800 people, I mean, if 1,000 people all talk about a disaster that's happening in 2012, I want to know about this.
You know what? Many of these people have seen these disasters. They could be earthquakes, typhoons, floods, tsunamis, firestorms, nuclear conflagration, but I've never yet heard a date put on it.
Have you ever heard an identical description from person to person?
Yes, I have actually.
Really? Does one in particular stand out as this one keeps coming up over and over?
Well, earthquake does. I think that's the one that I've most frequently run into in these regressions.
Interesting. Brandon in Kentucky, east of the Rockies, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. I had a question that I wanted to pose, sort of a theory, that actually I've been doing a lot of research myself, and I've been looking into the hollow earth theory, and I'm wondering what your take is of the possibility of these beings and entities that people are having contact with, if they may not be from underground of that nature. They may have been here before man, some sort of cosmic thing that we have not learned about, and that may actually even go on to the point of secret societies, a secret that they've been holding and regressing from the populace. I was just wondering what your take is on that, and possibly even is it something of the Catholic Church's sort of regression that they've been holding back all these times about the Book of Enoch and the Nephilim and that sort of thing.
Okay, somebody in power holding things back. Good question, Brandon. What do you think, Barbara?
Very complex question. There's so many different aspects to it. First of all, I really do not have any evidence or even high suggestion from any of the people I've regressed that they do live underground here on Earth. I've heard that series. John Rhodes promotes that theory, and he's looked into that. It could be that that's true. I did have one man experiencer client taken in a regression. In the experience, he was taken to an underground place. But his take on that was that it was in a different planet that he was taken to for a very short period of time. I just... really don't know, and I don't know about the Vatican and what they know or what they don't know. You know, I do hear these theories, too, but I can't say that I can contribute anything from my regression work on that.
Right. I don't think that the people that come to you who have had these experiences would necessarily be privy to that. For instance, if there was an intergalactic society that made a deal with the United States government, I don't think they'd necessarily tell the Earthling they were nabbing.
That's right.
So it very well may happen, but I would assume, just based on this, it would be way outside that particular experience.
Yes, it seems that way to me.
Roy is in Ohio, Wildcard 3. Welcome to Coast AM. Yo, Roy. Roy's gone. All right. Ed's in Chatsworth, though. Wildcard 2. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. Now, based on a repeated comment you had made, Barbara, of the alien abductees being shown a screen with information on it, why or how long has alien abductions been going on? Because why wouldn't there be a documented a village idiot from 1800 saying, oh, I saw this box with pictures or something, and you're more or less saying that it's ever since the invention of TV that people can relate with, oh, we're looking at a TV or a screen of some sort.
Well, that's a very interesting question. You know, there are stories about people who had abductions back in the 1800s and even the Middle Ages, and maybe even before that. You know, we have ancient Australian cliff paintings of what looked to us like ETs. So this may go back, these visits or abductions may go back for many, many centuries. I would guess that if that's true, that either they didn't see screens or holograms in those experiences, or they were dealing with beings who were so far advanced technologically that they might have had that kind of equipment way back then.
Interesting. Thanks, Ed. Paul is in Texas. First-time caller. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, I had a theory, or maybe you could tell me. If you said that these might be beings in our future, us in the future, correct?
Yes, Willie is the one who really suggested that.
Yeah.
I've heard that
okay.
theory.
Do you think we could have been put here by them, like as guinea pigs? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're the grand experiment.
It's possible, yes. I don't have material like that come out in my regressions, but that certainly is a very interesting theory.
Yeah, I would, thanks, appreciate that, Paul. I would again think that for the person coming for regression, it's a very personal experience, and they want to, in fact, get to the bottom of their interaction, not the global scheme of what's really here.
Yes, that's very true, Raleigh. Thank you.
Are there a handful, you talked about reptilians and grays and whites and all that, are there, say, a handful of half a dozen that are the most usual suspects of abductors?
Oh, yes, there are, and I'm happy to bring that out. Well, they're the short gray beings that seem to be promoted in a lot of the media. Some are very robot-like, some are more responsive to people, it seems. Then there are taller gray beings who might be about 5'7 to 5'10. Some of them have, it's been described as beveled eyes, you know, that mm-hmm. beveled glass look, different facets, sort of.
Like insects.
And some of them do DNA work and energy work on humans. And then there are small white beings who look, I mean, they're pure white, and they look very much like the little grays. But instead of having the big almond-shaped eyes, they have sort of round eyes, and the eyes seem to have expression in them. And they're experienced as being quite sweet and sensitive. Then there are medium-sized bronze-colored beings. All of these beings are upright. And there are some blue-silvery beings. They tend to be of different sizes, usually pretty small. And they seem to be very gentle and even loving and curious. And then we hear about the Nordic beings, the human-looking types, and they're usually very well-built and very, very attractive. Then there are the reptilian types, and there's even a variety within that category of reptilian types. And there are Garudas, one of my clients calls that type, which is almost like a dragon, but not with a huge long tail, but with fiery red eyes, big haunches, a tail of some sort, and they're very well-built, buff, muscular, and they seem to sort of act as guardians for the people who are being taken. and sometimes they act more like warriors. I don't know if they actually fight wars, but mm-hmm. they kind of come across like that. And yet there's a reptilian type, and I actually met one of these in a conscious awake state a few years ago, in the category of friendly ambassadors. I mean, that was really...
In a conscious awake state? No, I mean, they didn't ring the bell and say, Avon calling. How did this happen?
No, this was, I think, in about 1998 or so. And in the middle of the afternoon, I was simply walking through my home and just going to the other part of the house for something. And suddenly I noticed en route that right in the middle of the living room was standing a being. And he looked reptilian. He was... a little bit taller than I am. I'm about 5'4", so he was probably about 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", 5'5", amazed me because I've never liked to touch snakes and lizards and things like that. I'm not phobic, but I don't feel friendly toward them. And but this guy was exuding such a nice sense, even though he was a reptilian standing upright, that I just went right over it and took that hand and looked into his yellow eyes with sort of vertical slits for pupils and stayed there. In my conscious recollection, I stayed there for, several seconds, I guess, feeling actually good about it, quite fascinated by it. Well, eventually, a month or so after that, I had a colleague regress me to find out about that. I mean, first of all, was that true?
Yeah.
You know, and how could that be? And in the regression, the same thing, walked through the living room. There he was. I shook his hand and held his hand for a few minutes. And I was very close to him, looking into his eyes. His eyes were so magnetic, beautiful, really, sort of shiny yellow, and so beautiful, looking into his eyes. But in my peripheral vision, I could see different shadings of color and different textures of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And he was well built and looked like he could have been a football player.
Why was he there?
We're human. Well, he started talking to me telepathically and he said, "Ah, Barbara, good. Now you know. Now you know that I am real and we are real. That others from different parts of the universe and I come to people here on Earth, and people tend to wonder about it later and doubt it. And we know," he said, "that you, Barbara, are working with a lot of people who have experiences with us and other types who come to Earth, and that in between times, when you go about your regular life, sometimes you wonder, could all that be true? So I have been sent here to tell you that, yes, these things are true. They really do happen, and now you can experience it for yourself."
Wow.
So that was the gist of it. And I'll tell you, I am not a person who hallucinates or anything of that sort, and I just know that this was true. He said also that sometimes he and others like him, who, by the way, have been...
I'm going to leave it right there, Barbara. Barbara Lamb is with us, alienexperiences.com. We'll pick it up with her particular reptile. We'll also find out, are there nice furry... We haven't heard about any furry creatures. All that and more coming up on Coast to Coast AM. With Barbara Lamb and your calls, we're going to hear from Randy from Sacramento, who went through an alien abduction. We've got Greg in Cape Cod, who says he knows how to scare them away. Well, last week we had a guest who says she could call them to him. We'll find out if that is possible, and we'll get back to Barbara's new friend, her reptile, and find out whether or not there are any lovable furry type. And you know, that's the one commonality. What happened to the fur? All right, so all that and more coming up right here with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It is Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. Barbara Lamb is our guest. AlienExperiences.com will tell you about the upcoming book. You can take a look at the pictures on CoastToCoastAM.com as well. And all right, Barbara, so we left you there with your particular alien.
Yes, my nice reptilian who was exuding just good feeling. So the one other thing that he said was that sometimes he will appear to an experiencer, even if they haven't been experiencing reptilians, but they've experienced other ETs, and he'll just pop up, like pop up in their view in the car or in their home, and just as a little reminder that, yes, these things do happen. We are really real. I'd like to mention some other types, too. We have aquatic beings who are ETs who seem to live mostly under the water. And we have insectoid types. They look like very tall, very white beings who look rather like praying mantises, huge wraparound eyes. And people consistently report them as being very loving and very gentle and very wise and very helpful to people. And then we have small bug-eyed types who are okay, but they assist in some of the physical processes that go on the craft, and they seem to be more matter-of-fact. And then there are ethereal types, these sort of other-dimensional or multi-dimensional beings who seem to be unconditionally loving and wonderful. We can still call them extraterrestrials, I think, because people are taken to be with them, and they really have glorious, transformative experiences with them.
Now, not a one of them, though, is furry, are they?
Not another one of them is what?
They're not furry.
No. Well, I have heard of one furry type who seems to be like kind of a small, upright animal, looking a little bit like a possum, but a little friendlier than
I was hoping for a bear.
Yeah, I like bears too, but I haven't heard of that in these regressions. And then there are some glowing, radiant beings that might even be circular in form or ball-like in form, or some of them that you can see the glow and then the more congealed part toward the middle of them. And some of them are reported to even sort of tinkle with their vibration. They're beautiful, delightful. And some people have even seen what they describe as giant amoeba-like beings that are out there in space that they're taken to by ETs. And these amoeba-like beings seem to be very conscious, and the person is drawn into it. It sounds kind of spooky. But once they're in there, inside this being, they have clairvoyance, clairsentience. They know everything about everything. And they feel the most incredible sense of being unconditionally loved.
Right.
And this is all, you know, part of the extraterrestrial experience. And some of these things, the last ones I've been talking about, I don't hear about this very much. I certainly don't hear about it on the media.
All this stuff is going to be in your book, right?
Yes.
All right, so alienexperiences.com. And right. Bill in Frederick, Maryland had asked, he fast-blasted, and he said, have you ever kept stats on the number of abductees who were believers prior to their abductions? In other words, believers in the phenomena. But then I thought, as a caveat, well, most of these people were taken very young. I doubt they believed anything, but what's the deal?
Yes, well, that's true. You know, and it varies with the person, I think. I think the way it happens mostly is that people are taken. And because they're taken and they have brief memories of parts of the experience, that then they become interested in it and hear about it.
Okay, so you haven't had too many people that you've regressed who are like, oh, my God, I didn't even know this was possible?
Yes, many people are regressed like that and didn't
Know
it was possible.
Okay, so you do have, percentage-wise, what percentage is surprised to hear about it versus having the aha, gee, I suspected thought?
Oh, I think probably most of them have the GI kind of suspected it because of the weird things that have been happening to me type of approach.
All right, and that would make sense, too, because, of course, some of them are seeking you out for this specifically, so they already had to be thinking about it before they came. But
yes.
Has anybody who maybe was coming for a marital problem or another therapy, and you've done a regression and gotten this, has that happened as well, where they were just completely unsuspecting?
Great question. Yes, that has happened several times, particularly when somebody is married and comes because of having sexual problems.
Interesting.
And sometimes the sexual problems will come back to not childhood sexual abuse, as one might guess. initially, but it goes back to having these experiences with the extraterrestrials.
All right, Randy's in Sacramento, west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast AM.
Well, thank you. Good morning. Interesting, because I have relatives named Lamb and James both here. Barbara, I'll let you tell me what happened, because I honestly don't know. Two things that are important to this. When I was very young in elementary school, I hurt my knee, and I wear hard contact lenses. So one night I had locked up for the night. My dog, which normally is outside, had come inside, and I was going to let him out, and I sat down on the couch and quickly, more quickly than usual, fell asleep. I woke up, I don't know how long later, I really don't know how long I've been out, but my knee was really, really hurting me, which is what woke me up. And because I had been asleep with my lenses in, my eyes were bothering me, so I stumbled in, took my lenses out, and my right contact lens just flew out. Okay. Next morning, I got up and I put my lenses in. My right lens, I couldn't focus, and it was painful. It obviously was something, my eye was just rejecting it. So, okay, fine. I had, then when I woke up, I kind of had a dream of some beings examining my knee, and I remembered that, and I remembered my eye hurting me, but I'd kind of dismissed that as, you know, just a stupid dream because my knee had been bothering me, so I'm dreaming of these alien beings examining my knee. Okay, stupid, weird, big deal. Well, the next day, I tried my lens again, and it's still, I can't wear it. My left lens is fine. I can see, it fits, it's comfortable. So I decided to call my eye doctor a couple days later for an appointment. The third day, I tried the same thing, couldn't wear the lens, went into the eye doctor and gave him the lens, and he came back in after putting it in his little optical device and was looking at me like I was a complete idiot, and I was just so afraid of what he was going to say before he said it, which was, this isn't your lens. Where did you get this? How could you even wear this?
Oh,
this
my.
Lens is for an eye that is much flatter than yours. Your eyeball has more curvature, and the prescription is much stronger than yours. I don't see how you could have got, whose lens is this? Where did you get this? Why are you here? And then when you said the thing about people waking up with
different,
clothes,
that's right.
I really didn't want to hear that.
Well, you know, it sounds like it certainly is a possibility that some kind of ET experience happened. But for you to really know for sure, I think the way to do that would be to find somebody who can do the regression work with you, really take you through that evening, and particularly the part that you weren't aware of.
Is there any website that has these, you know, like I know you're president of one association and members of others. Is there any one-stop shopping place that someone can look it up and find out who these therapists might be in their area?
Yes, there is. It's for the Academy of Clinical Close Encounter Therapists, and the acronym for that is ACCET, A-C-C-E-T. So the website is ACCET, A-C-C-E-T, academy.com. Now, if you go to that website, you'll see that it is actually a membership and a referral service for people around the country and even in some other countries who do this regression work with experiences of extraterrestrial contact. So what you can do to find one of those is to email to one of the board members. The addresses are all there. I'm one of them. And then we could look up on our roster of members who do this kind of work who would be in your area and get back to you about that. So that's an excellent referral service.
All right. Well, good luck, Randy. Let's see. We got Greg in Cape Cod, Wildcard Line 2. Welcome to Coast AM.
Yes. Good morning, Raleigh and Barbara. Very interesting show.
Thank you.
As I was discussing with your very nice screener, maybe my experience could help some of these abductees if they even have a chance to try it. But I've been a longtime listener. I guess about 5 years ago, during one of Art's shows, I was listening to a guest who talked about how he could attract the UFOs by shining a flashlight So I gave it a shot and went out on my balcony in my backyard here on Cape Cod, and most of the star-like objects you see going by are satellites, but only twice this has happened where I've flashed the white light three times at an object that was moving, and it stopped, and it flashed me back three times, and I flashed it back four, and it flashed me back the same number of times, and it actually came in right over my house. Two more came out of nowhere, right above the tree line, and that's when I got scared and pulled out my other laser light, and you know light travels 186,000 miles a second, so I guess that's how I was able to even attract them in the first place. But if your abductee listeners who may have a chance to use this, I don't know if they even can the way they're taken, but when you shine the red light on them, they take off like a bat out of you know what.
Interesting.
That's happened several times where I hit them with the red laser pointer light, even way up in the sky.
Yeah.
They'll stop with the white light, but you hit them with the red light, and they must think they're being targeted by, you know, maybe our government with the laser technology we have, and they're in fear of being shot down. But they've taken off like crazy, and it's not in any of our airplanes or anything. Nothing moves like that. Nothing moves that fast.
Right.
And they do fear the red laser light. There's no doubt about it.
Interesting. All right, great. Thanks for calling.
Yes, is this a red light that you would use to, you know, show, point out something on a slide?
Yeah, like laser pointers, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll try it. I don't plan to call them to me first, you see. We've got Rob in Winnipeg, Wildcard 1. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi there. I actually just had a question about sort of the nature of the regressions, how they work. You had mentioned earlier when people were trying to figure out how they got chosen that you could sort of ask them to ask the aliens or ask the beings, sometimes telepathically. Are these regressions somehow memories? Would they have had to actually have done that themselves during the actual experience and then remember the answers they were given? Or is this somehow...
how does that work?
picture memories. I'm not sure how that would work. And how do you avoid the potential of giving some kind of leading question?
Okay, we've got two very important questions here. First of all, your question is fascinating. That's something that we wonder about. When we're in a regression, supposedly, I mean, it would seem that we're going into what we humans consider the past to an event that's already happened. You know, we think of that as in linear time. We think of that was previous. But actually, in the regression, I think one of the things that we're discovering is that all time is simultaneous. So that even though we think we're going into the past in a regression, and we do, don't we? We do think of it that way, that maybe it's all happening at this moment. Maybe all time is happening simultaneously. Do you see what I mean? I mean, this is a very difficult concept to grasp.
It's fascinating, and I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, the Seth material channeled by Jane Roberts years ago.
Loved her stuff.
Yeah, me too, and really goes into that, and that we're so habituated, we're so conditioned to think of time as being linear, one moment after the other. So, but if that's really not true, and in the altered state of hypnosis, if you go back, well, here I am again saying go back, but go to an experience that we consider in the past, it may not really be in the past.
Yeah, focus on our actualized present, as it were.
Yeah.
It's in the past when we think of it as in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
But it may not really be. I hope I'm not confusing you, sir, who called. But, I mean, it's a very fascinating question. What was the other question?
Rob, are you still there?
Leading.
Rob's gone. I forget. All right.
Oh, I know what it was. He may be listening. It's about leading the person in regression. That's a very important aspect. that as we're conducting these regressions, we must be very, very open. We must just give suggestions that keep the process going, but not feed them any ideas or try to influence the material. I just know that I, for myself, try to be meticulously careful about that and simply ask questions like, what do you see now? What's happening now? What are you aware of now? How are you feeling about that? You know, and not give any suggestions about what I think might be happening.
Well, that's also part of classical regression training. You learn that when you're regressing people apart from UFOs. I mean, that's a discipline that's pretty well known. And I would assume that, you know, to manage to get the degree and all that, you learn how not to lead. So that's the easy end of this. But looking at the screen west of the Rockies, Russ in Los Angeles says something that I know you've had in your writings before. So, Russ, have at it.
All right, I got a little theory. You know, you said that the ETs like to feel emotions from human beings, and they're showing them natural disasters and earthquakes and stuff like that. Are they trying to feel fear from humans?
Well, it seems like certain species do, like the reptilians seem to, some of them anyway, like to get the energy of people's fear. They like to actually create fearful experiences because they get energized by human beings' fear. Or it could be human beings being shocked or being angry, any of what we might consider are more difficult negative feelings.
Yeah, strong emotions. Sure.
Yeah, but not all the ETs are that way. I mean, there's so many different types of ETs, and some of them have nothing to do with that, but that they're very interested in that we do have emotion. And since they don't have the capacity for that, it's especially interesting to them. Like, how does this work? Why is this person calling out? Or why is the brow furrowing? Or why is the color rising in the face of this human? Right. You know, what is this about? What glandularly is going on in this person that they're having this reaction?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And of course, then those who are emotional vampires, who are parasitically living off of our emotions as opposed to studying them, it probably runs the gamut. But I also saw in some of your writings where you mentioned that fear attracts more negative encounters, and that would fit in with those who need the fear for their existence.
Yes. And certain people, I think, get addicted to feeling fear or feeling anger.
Oh, you betcha. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about people getting addicted to their alien encounters. I know that's possible, too.
Sure.
Hopefully everybody will pick up your book, AlienExperiences.com. It's gone far too fast, Barbara Lamb. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm delighted.
Me too.
Good.
All right, so fun stuff, and apologies to everybody we didn't get to on the phone. My thanks to Kyrus Coburn, Wayne Roberts, Gina Yates, Gina Salvati, Lex Lone Hood, Sean Latasore, Ross Mitchell, Lisa Lyon, Tom Danheiser, Trevor Oliver, George Norrie, Sean Compton, and especially to you for listening to me, Raleigh James. Till next time, that's a wrap.